B-Pod Studios.
For over 30 years, Morgan & Morgan has been here at your time of need. There's only one Morgan & Morgan. On your cell, dial pound law. Pound law, that's all.
Offices, Philadelphia.
WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. Home of 76ers basketball.
Rebound slam, Ben Simmons.
Flyers hockey.
Drew scores!
And Farzetta in the morning.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Plug in. 97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
I want to start off by saying thank you to H. Marrero on Twitter, who sent me a picture of a boat yesterday that was entitled Little Toot 2. That warmed my heart because I just got done changing a big old diaper and of little toots, go figure. And then I look on Twitter immediately following, and there's a little, a tugboat? I don't know what it is, entitled Little Toot.
Sure looked like a tugboat.
It looked like a tugboat is what it was.
That's
so
nice. It was cute.
You. It warmed my heart. I mean, to think that a listener is out there and they saw something that reminded them of my daughter, who turned 11 months yesterday. That's great.
Warm the cockles of your heart?
Absolutely, man.
Nice.
Absolutely. Almost as much as already naming the NBA bubble MVP. It's already been done. Like, it's over, as far as I'm concerned.
The entertainment that will come from it, I think, will be pretty good.
Absolutely, but the MVP frontrunner right now in the lead before any games. I believe only one practice has even happened so far in the bubble, the Orlando Magic.
Yes.
And that's it. That's the only basketball that's actually been played inside the bubble as of yet, and there's already been an MVP. And he hasn't even touched the basketball yet. That gentleman's name, the MVP of the bubble, the real MVP of the bubble, the real bubble MVP, Joel Hans Embiid.
Man, I'm trying to be dumb there.
Oh, you make that happen, JoJo. Is he not a gift that keeps on giving when it comes to social media?
You like the hazmat suit, huh?
I adored the hazmat suit. And seeing him get out of that car yesterday and put that on, and the lady was helping him put it on, because I don't know where you can find a 7-foot hazmat suit, but nonetheless, he got one, and he's put that on with the mask and everything, and he walks onto the plane, and he posts the pictures of himself on social media, and the location is Larry O'Brien. Like, Joel, I've missed you. And I know that there's a lot of drama that surrounds your game.
Now go play basketball.
Yeah, of course, that's fine, and I want to see that as well. However, before he steps on the basketball court, and before he may look a little out of shape, not in game shape, I should say. That's what we should be saying. Not in game shape just yet. But before any of that, before anything happens in his game that might frustrate you, thank you. Just thank you. And I saw a couple of people, I think they took it the wrong way, because this is how I took it. Somebody tweeted me and saying, oh, he's not taking a pandemic seriously. Come on, Joel, you're worried about this and you're going to show up as a joke. No, I think that, Yeah, I think part of it's a joke, but I believe it's a troll job directed at one person.
It's and safety and a troll all in one.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, but the troll job goes to Kendrick Perkins.
Like, absolutely.
He's trolling Kendrick Perkins, and the person that tweeted me back in response when I tweeted out or retweeted the photo of Joel Embiid with the hazmat suit was, oh, is he making a joke of it? And I'm like, no,
The beauty of him is, I think he's serious about protecting himself.
Yes.
Yet realizes it's also an epic troll job.
It also says to me, when two Sixers tested positive when this all began, he wasn't one of them.
Oh, surprise. So pick the guy out without the mask or hazmat suit, and that's who already had coronavirus.
Well, Kylo Quinn, I'm just saying, was right behind him laughing. No mask.
That Kylo Quinn, man.
Troublemaker.
We're going to get that Bob Cooney, detective, on the scene.
You know, that's what I do.
But Joel goes on there, goes on the plane, everything, goes to Orlando, Florida, and then as soon as they land and he goes to his hotel room, he tweets a picture or posts a picture on Instagram in his story of the meal that he was given first and says, I'm definitely going to lose 50 pounds while I'm here. And then does, this is what I look like at the end of the NBA bubble, and posts pictures of him at Luka Mbamute's camp when he was like 14 years old. And he's just a rail
so
skinny.
Good, yeah.
I was like, well, just call it off already. I have missed this man so much. And I know we have
play basketball.
Bob, I understand. I know we have our critiques. you can't fight the fact that the guy's at least entertaining.
Love it. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Glad to see him. As funny as can be. I got a few chuckles yesterday afternoon as I was sitting around reading. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. Now go play basketball.
Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. Direct
yes.
quote from Bob Cooney.
I chuckled numerous times. Out loud chuckle as I was sitting alone yesterday.
A chortle, if you will?
Maybe a chortle.
Yeah?
Yeah. A double chuckle might be a chortle.
Okay.
Yes.
I always thought the word chortle was weird.
I like the word chortle.
I enjoy the word.
Really?
Yeah.
It sounds like something different.
Yeah, that's why I enjoy it.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it should be like a belly laugh.
But. Chortle, are you okay? Can you breathe? Like, yeah. That's what it sounds like almost. I really did miss Joel Embiid. I missed his antics, if you will. But what was funny was, as I'm laughing at this, I was hearkening back. How's that for? I don't know.
Wow. I'm just going to sit here and listen to the two of you today. Chortle and hearkening.
We were comparing our eighth grade vocab books before the show.
And I was the one reading yesterday, and you guys come up with chortle and hearkening.
You shouldn't have read. You should have watched more Meat Eater, Bob. But nonetheless, I'm going back, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? This is all the stuff I was done with 4 months ago. Like I just want to tell you, enough with the antics, JoJo. Just go out there and play basketball, please. And now that he's back and it feels like a new season, I feel like there's a renewed sense of joy when it comes to just seeing these guys not suit up. Well, yeah, literally suit up. But these guys go to Orlando, Florida and get ready to play some basketball.
I was amazed how happy I was just to see and hear Joel.
Okay, so I'm not alone.
No, it was comforting.
Yeah, it really was. It was like, okay, here we go.
There's our big son back. He's back, joking around. He's ready. I think he's ready.
The prodigal son returned. Now, here's what actually...
He's ready, why?
Because I think he wants to shut people up. Because okay. I think... we talked about it briefly the other day. Like, the national media narrative has kind of shifted to dogging him. So, yeah, we'll see. He's got to prove it, obviously.
You said the exact word. The national media is in a prove-it attitude with him now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, the only thing that makes me go against that is the idea that Charles Barkley has not really had his back. I mean, he's got his back now. Apparently, Charles, talking to Michael Barkin a couple of weeks ago, is now back on the Sixers bandwagon. Like, oh, yeah, they can do this. They can do fine in this tournament, whatever. But, guys in the national media, Shaq, Charles Barkley, they've ridden him. They've absolutely ridden this guy. They haven't been saying the nicest things. And it's nothing we haven't said either. But I think he enjoys being that media darling. And I think he enjoys being the dinner and a show. I think he really embraces that. I think it goes really without saying. Just look at yesterday, for instance, when he literally was a show and then tweeted his dinner. Like, that's what he did yesterday. I did miss it, though. And I move on from 4 months ago, being frustrated with his game, looking at him as a guy that needed to take his talent more seriously. Again, a guy that going into this season, before the shutdown, like going into the start of the year in October, I looked at him as a guy that I was hoping would take his talent more seriously, as a guy that would take that major step forward this year. And instead, he looked like a guy that still had to play himself into shape, which is unfortunate, especially when he's next to an Adonis like Ben Simmons, who never seems to be out of shape, who never seems to be in full tilt when he's on the basketball court. All that went away yesterday. It was very comforting to see him already embracing the role of playing basketball again. And look, it wasn't even playing basketball. It was going to play basketball. It was en route to play basketball. It was en route to start up the NBA season once again. And then in a couple of weeks, also start the NBA playoffs.
He was in the role of playing a character, of being who he is, being fun,
being
all that
who
stuff.
He is.
Go play basketball.
That started in a week or two. What is it? Two weeks from today.
Yeah. Okay. Go play basketball.
But don't we always say we want to see Joel Embiid smiling and having fun, and that's when he's at his best?
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Phillies are 2 weeks from today. They're more like three.
Yeah.
But they're all August 1st.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. So
yeah, there's exhibitions.
Yeah. 3 weeks from tomorrow, I think the Sixers open. Yeah. But... yeah, July 27th is their first scrimmage.
Yeah, lighten up, Bobby. Hasn't even had the chance yet.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah. I'm as light as can be, dude. I am very, very happy. This is awesome. I'm glad he's happy, smiling, making fun of people without saying too much. You know, saying he's going to lose 50 pounds. That's great. Have fun. I'm all for it.
Okay.
Yeah, go.
Check the first box. That's all.
If having fun makes you the best basketball player you can be, God darn it, overload on fun. Overload on it.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying is
yes.
All.
No, I agree.
All right.
I'm going to play basketball.
Kendrick Perkins. Why does this happen? Kendrick Perkins tweets a response to Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And then deletes it.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Look where he works.
What? Yeah. What? ESPN, Disney?
Oh, wait. I was thinking he was with Skip. No, but yeah, he's hot takes, Will.
No, you're thinking of Shannon Sharp, who completely misquoted Jeffrey Lurie.
Oh, that seems bad.
It's not a good idea. Well, he basically, and credit to Jeff Mosher, who actually called him out on it, Shannon Sharp, and I was going to get to the, what's that fellow's name? DeSean Jackson. I was going to get to this a little bit later, but.
Yeah, Perkins is hot takey.
That's what it seems like for whatever reason. They're like, all right, hey, look, Kendrick, if you're going to have a job with us and you played like 15 years in the NBA, this is what you're going to do. You're going to just throw hot takes against the wall and we're going to see what sticks and you be that guy. Okay. Like, that's what he's basically. So Joel Embiid gets out of the car yesterday with the hazmat suit, and I'm pretty sure Kendrick Perkins' head exploded. And he went to Twitter and he basically said how dumb it was. And then people screen grabbed it after he deleted it. Why? Why not stick to your guns, brah? Why not stick to your guns?
Yeah.
We'll read the tweet for you a little bit later. But I love that. And the other thing about the NBA bubble that I saw, and mark my words right now. Malika Andrews for ESPN, who is like the bubble reporter for ESPN.
You think she's going to become a star, don't you?
Superstar. Like, okay. MVP.
You're in love a little bit.
I would say I'm smitten.
Deep like?
I'm in deep smit. Okay. I will say that much about Malika Andrews. You have Joel Embiid, the NBA bubble, MVP. And then you have Malika Andrews will be the runner-up to MVP, as far as I'm concerned.
Was it the little thing that she had that beeped yesterday
It was weeks ago. Weeks ago, I'm watching SVP, and I'm seeing him interview this Malika Andrews lady. And I'm like, oh, hello. Hello, miss.
I'm Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
One of those?
Yeah, right. And first off, great reporter. She really has her stuff down and all that stuff.
Really?
Bob, journalistic integrity, Bob.
You've seen her, what, for 30 second spot?
About 2 weeks, do like 8-minute interviews,
Bob. She's a great reporter. Determined she's a great reporter because you looked at her and said, ooh, she's good looking.
That was the first thing that jumped out to me.
All right.
As a heterosexual male who finds women extremely attractive, I look at the TV and I go, hello. And then I listen because I'm a sports fan and I'm like, why, hello again. And then
reporting turned you on more than her good looks.
Let's just say I have been like celibate from the sports world, as we all have for 4 months. So yeah, I'm what you would call thirsty.
I have to admit ignorance in her reporting. I haven't seen much of it yet. I saw a little bit yesterday when she was talking about the little thing that they have to carry around, that after 5 seconds of being within 6 feet of somebody, a red light goes off.
How great is that?
And then 10 seconds it beeps.
Yeah.
So
it goes like an alarm goes off.
Like can that be a marriage thing? Can we like get wife talks for more than 10 seconds or if the husband talks for more than 10 seconds, it just beeps and you're like, "All right, I got to go."
Well, Joel Embiid has one for when he gets close to the 3-point line. Brett Brown gave him that and said, "Hey, yeah, let's keep it in a little here, buddy."
I see what you did there.
Where's my rim shot? But anyway, Malika Andrews, second most famous person in the NBA bubble as far as I'm concerned. She goes out there and she holds up this bubble. And she has been doing a great job of reporting from like inside the NBA bubble. She's been there for a week already. And yeah, she holds up this little beeper thing. And as you just described, at 5 seconds, everyone has one of these, Bob. And if you're in the NBA bubble with me and you're standing within 6 feet for more than 5 seconds, this thing goes off. It starts beeping. A red light starts flashing.
Right.
If you're within, I think, for 10 seconds within 6 feet, then it starts to go, meh, 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 meh.
Yeah.
And it starts to go off. And I'm like, well, damn, they may have thought of everything except for like food portions. Other than that, they're pretty much nailing this so far. When you go off the practice court, you have a little wristband that you got to scan when you leave the practice court. Did you see that as well?
Yes.
I know that. My good friend Malika Andrews.
I know.
I really want to have on this program at some point. Just because.
I can put in a request.
Yeah, just because I want to be.
She's probably got a lot of time on her hands.
Probably. She showed that thing off. And I thought it was interesting because I see that tweet from her. And then I see the story of NFL players, including our own now Darius Slay, being upset about not being able to exchange jerseys after games. And I thought to myself, I understand that you got to tackle somebody, as Darius Slay said, for 60 minutes, and then you can't like exchange a jersey. What sense does that make? I understand. I get it. It seems stupid. But go ask NBA players about these beepers going off when they're within 6 feet of one another for more than 5 seconds. Like, that's stupid, too. But you know what it is? It's an effort to trim the fat. It's an effort to cut down the amount of time you're around somebody else, because that's how this virus gets transmitted, in case you haven't been paying attention for the last 4.5 months. I have no issue with this whatsoever, and I'm shocked that NFL players have like spoken out against it. Is it because they feel like, well, wait, hold on, if I can't stay next to somebody, how am I supposed to tackle somebody?
Yeah.
Well, yes. You get paid. Yeah, but you get paid to tackle someone. You don't get paid to exchange a jersey. If you want to do that, why? Like, here's the other thing. I've never thought that's a good look. It doesn't make me pissed off. Like, it used to when I was, like, really young, and I used to see that, like, a guy would smile after a game or bro hug another player after a game. It used to really bother me, like, when I was a kid. It's still not a good look. Why can't they do that in the bowels of the stadium, for instance?
Oh, I'm not real young, and I still hate it.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, I hate it.
It used to, like, really get my ire up.
Bowels of the stadium, fine. Yeah. I mean, know your audience. Be smart enough not to do something like that in front of everybody. I mean, fans are living and dying with every play. Mm-hmm. Game gets over, and you're exchanging a jersey?
So, bottom line is, I think we can all agree, it's not a good look.
No.
Like, there's no positive that comes out of that. After a loss, you never went, oh, well, you know, at least Deshaun Jackson got whoever's jersey after the game. Cool. Steve Smith's jersey after the game. Cool. Yeah, no, I was never.
No, no.
But nonetheless, like, it doesn't piss me off anymore. But do that away from the field if you still want to do it. I just don't get why that's the sticking point for a lot of these players. Like, why would you feel the need to say anything negative about it? Do you want to play or not? And if you want to play, you got to cut down on the amount of time you're around other players as much as possible, which is the same reason why they're trying to go with the 6 feet apart in the locker room as well. Like, I know it doesn't sound great. It's not a great selling point to a player. But the bottom line is, again, you got to trim the fat.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can go forward with this. Like, the Big Ten yesterday announced that they're going to say they're only going to have conference games. Like, that's great. That's what they're hoping to do. They're hoping they're in a state where they could do that. But they're basically just trying to trim the fat. They're trying to get down to the essentials so that they can do whatever possible to have a season, to have football games, to have that entertainment, to have that outlet for those players as well. I got no issue with the NFL saying no jersey exchange. I have a hard time believing any fan is going to be like, damn right, players, you fight for your right. Really?
Yeah.
That caught my attention yesterday. I thought that was like, go ask the NBA players about their beepers that they got to wear. The other thing that we're going to get into today is this JT Realmuto story that just got worse yesterday. A little over a week ago, Matt Klentak came out and said the landscape of Major League Baseball has changed. From February to now, the landscape has changed. Well, we all know the landscape of just about everything has changed. Thank you, pandemic. Why should it change to the point where you don't feel like you can sign JT Realmuto? Because yesterday, a dark cloud got darker. After Matt Klentak came out and talked about that landscape, JT Realmuto held a conference call, a Zoom call yesterday, a press conference over Zoom, where he talked about how, well, yeah, I understand it might not happen here, more or less. But just as always, there's going to be other teams in this sport that would be willing to pay me. He didn't say that bluntly, but he did mention, you know, if it's not going to be 10 teams, it might be 5. And it's like, yeah, there's going to be other people other than the Phillies, at least 4 other teams that are going to be interested in bringing him in and paying him every ounce or every dollar that he wants to be paid to play baseball in this league.
Imagine that. Somebody would pay for the best catcher in baseball.
It's so stupid.
Weird.
How do those people run their teams? Idiots. Morons. Like,
anything that comes out of their mouth about market shifting is crap.
Well, that's what scared me the most yesterday from JT Realmuto.
You're right.
I like how Jamie thought it out. Is crap.
I wanted to say worst. I filtered myself down to crap.
We were doing so well with these vocab words, and you just down to crap.
Yeah.
And who uses crap anymore?
Not enough people.
Exactly.
You know what? It makes me chortle, tell you that much. But he comes out and acknowledges the fact that there's 5 other teams that are going to be interested in him anyway. And he's like, oh yeah, the Phillies are great, and they treat me great, and the family's great. Ever since I've been here, they'll be great. Everything's great. Now it's not great. And after everyone wanted to come at you for saying, oh, well, what is Matt Klentak going to come out and say that he's, oh, yeah, we're signing him, the deal's almost done? No, of course not. Matt Klentak, the only thing that he said that made me go, okay, I feel good, is, yeah, we still want him. Okay, good. Well, who wants the best catcher in baseball, as Jamie
right,
just said.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody will want the best catcher in baseball. For the Phillies' sake, hopefully not that many. Because according to JT Realmuto, if it doesn't work out here, somebody's going to pay me. That's what I heard yesterday when he was addressing the media.
Yeah, and that's what he wanted the Phillies to hear. You know, that's what he wants, you know, the Delaware Valley to hear. That, like, come on, what are you guys doing? I mean, not that JT Realmuto wants or needs the community behind him, the Phillies baseball fans behind him. But, yeah, saying that is just like, hey, I'm here. You can have me if you want. So far, you haven't shown me that you won. And the fact that he said, you know, they're in Clearwater. They've been discussing things and nothing has moved since we were down there earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's going on?
I'm still trying to figure it out. It seems like...
Do you want to win or don't you? Like this is the... The getting the Bryce Harper stuff that took so long, understandable. You sign Wheeler. You do these things that make you look like you want to win now. You bring in Gregorius for a one-year deal, a prove-it deal that maybe you're going to keep him around, whatever it may be. And now you're really in that, what do you want to do now?
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, oh, well, I don't know. We'll see.
The Phillies.
It's crap, James. Crap.
The Phillies, thanks for agreeing, Bob.
The Phillies, they didn't make me feel good yesterday. And then, by the way, this is after JT Realmuto led off the Zoom call. This is the new thing now. Lead off the Zoom call with, hey, let's get this out of the way. Like Joe Girardi led off the Zoom call the other day with, hey, guys, I'm not going to tell you who tested positive for coronavirus, so don't just assume that somebody's not playing, they got coronavirus. Well, JT Realmuto led off the conference call yesterday with, hey, I don't want to really talk about my contract, so let's keep this to the team. And I think the first question was about the contract, and they got that out of the way. But nonetheless,
pay that man his money.
Give him his money. That's all we're asking here, okay? Another question we're going to ask today is a list came out by a producer from the NFL Network, I believe he works for, a guy named Bobby Bell. And this is a list that has nothing to do with football. This is a list that has everything to do with movies.
Oh, I saw this list. Yeah,
yeah, I saw this as well.
Yeah.
50.
Don't say anything.
50 movies that I believe he clarified as the IMDb's
common,
most searched movies.
Yeah,
on
most
IMDb.
Commonly seen, I think, is okay. Kind of like how it was phrased.
Okay. 50 movies.
Mm-hmm. Is this pandemic related or just overall?
I think overall.
Okay, all right.
Just overall
right.
On IMDb.
Okay.
All right. The International Movie Database, also known mm-hmm. as PatEgan.
Let's wait till we get to the results here.
I've seen all but 6 movies on this list of 50 movies. And some of them I've seen most of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm being like strict honest, like, sat down, watched for the entire movie, like, there's 6 movies I did not see on this.
Yeah, like, there's one I saw when I was younger, but I might not remember the details as well.
But you watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, now that I said that, there's 7 movies, because I've never sat down and watched Pulp Fiction all the way through. I've seen Pulp Fiction all the way through, but I haven't sat down and watched for, like, 2.5 hours or whatever it is.
What?
I've told you this before. I can't get over.
I might have forgot that. I probably pushed it out of my head.
I can't get over the burgers. Every single time I've sat down to watch Pulp Fiction, it's like an advertisement for cheeseburgers, and I'm like, I got to turn this off and go get a burger. I'm not even kidding you. It's like
it took me 4 times to get through it.
Okay, I got to.
He's a Tarantino hater, though.
Yeah, I don't.
Is it the wordiness? Is it how verbose he can be?
Oh my God!
Anyway,
Harkin Chortle verbose. But wow,
you're just getting an education today is what you're doing, folks.
I am too dumb for this show.
Jamie, set the line for me. How many of these movies did Bob Cooney see?
Oh, 15?
Set the line.
No, we got to be serious here, because I did just count up before we started.
When are we not serious, Bob?
Good point. Set the line. Let me see if Pat Egan agrees with me. 10.5?
Wow.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Really? Okay. 10. I honestly, not for nothing over here, I thought that'd be high. I would have taken the under.
I mean, some of those are very, very common. Very,
okay.
Very.
Okay. All right,
like,
fair
enough. Yeah. I think 10.5 is fair.
10.5.
You know he's seen Death to Smoochie. You know that.
Death to Smoochie is not on the list. But anyway. All right. So we're going to figure this out. And if anyone else has seen this list, I'd love to hear from you. And I want to know your total. I want to know if anyone has seen every movie of the 50.
I think, Pat, that we should tweet it out on our 97.5 account. Okay.
I'm sorry. You're the boss? Are you the boss? I wasn't aware.
Wow. I had your back yesterday, and you're going to start with me at 6:23? Seriously?
You started with me at 5:50, bud.
This is a good point. We got the most...
Put a camera in my face.
Look at me, sure. Look at me, sure. I'm the captain now.
That guy career's taking off, hasn't it?
Anyway, I'm going to tell that story later. And also, something else we'll get into is this DeSean Jackson thing. There's one little nugget here that is just the most 2020 thing ever. That we'll get to a little bit later in the program. We got Mike and Delran. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic is 6:24.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I will say the movies I have not seen on this list. Green Mile.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not kidding. And I,
are you going to say this after? Because you could legit
I'm not going to say. Green Mile's a great movie.
I've heard it's lovely.
I love that movie.
I've seen a lot of it.
That's one of those, like Shawshank, that's one of those when, when you're sitting around on a Saturday and it's on, to me, don't change the channel. Watch the rest of it.
I get too emotional knowing that Michael Clark Duncan's no longer with us.
Yes, that's tough. But that's also...
Avatar.
Eh.
Memento.
That's an amazing
movie. That was like my brother's favorite movie for like 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then The Room came out. No, I was kidding. All right.
I used to own that DVD.
Wall-E.
That honestly might be one of my like top 10 favorite movies on that list.
Oh, that's one of my least favorite Pixar movies ever.
That's because you didn't get it.
Wait, which one?
Yeah, that's
Memento or Wall-E?
Wall-E.
Oh. I love it. If I don't get something, or if I don't like something, I didn't get it.
Yeah, you didn't get it.
That must be what it was.
You didn't get it.
Maybe just because it sucked.
Nope.
All right, now here's the one that's probably your brain is going to explode. All right? I've seen a lot of this movie, but if I'm being honest with myself, I haven't sat down and watched it all the way through. Usual Suspects. Yeah. Yeah, I admit it.
Wow.
First step is admitting. If you have a problem, I have a problem. And I'm admitting that I have a problem.
Sorry, we have something coming.
And I saw the
Well, it's tough to go back and watch Kevin Spacey's work these days. Benicio Del Toro didn't do anything for you?
Wolfman from Pee-wee, Big Top Pee-wee. And then the reason I'm saying this list now, the ones that I haven't seen on the 50, because I'm going to blow this person's mind right now. And I think I've told him before, our friend Mike in Delran. Mike... the movie, the sixth movie that I have never seen, Iron Man.
You know what? It's an absolute violation, Farzetta, that you didn't see Green Mile. But now that you're telling me you didn't see Iron Man either, man, you go home today, you sit in front of that damn TV with your Disney Plus, and you watch it, right?
I don't even
or Hamilton. You can watch Hamilton with Disney Plus, which I did last week, Mike.
Absolutely.
You watched half of
absolutely
it.
Absolutely insane.
I watched the rest of it. Don't worry. It's all good. I caught up.
You know, 10.5 is a good number. I instantly in my head said Tooney probably saw 11.
11.
Oh, really? Okay. I do. Mike, I do have the number.
I know.
11 is incorrect.
All right. Jersey swaps, I didn't like them either. But now that you're telling me after wrestling around with each other for 60 minutes, you can't swap jerseys, that's dumb. It's just stupid to even come out and say it. I hope they exchange masks after games. Like, seriously, like, come on. This world's getting out of control. In a world where I have to wear a mask outside of the park by myself in New Jersey, but I can't sit in a bar and drink a beer and get something to eat, and I can go protest with hundreds of people, or I can stand in line at Lowe's or sleep out overnight to go to the DMV. But I'm tired of all this. I'm tired of it. I hope they keep switching jerseys, and I hope it goes up. I hope it pisses everybody off. Sorry. Joel Embiid, listen, I'm with you, Bob. Go play, okay? I don't care about your 7-foot Tyvek suit. I don't care that you're going to lose 50 pounds because you got to eat a salad. I don't care about any of that. Everyone thinks that he's in the show-me mode. Yeah, well, guess what? I thought that, too, when he cried after losing to Kawhi Leonard, and he proved me wrong. Just go play the game of basketball. This is not a time for your antics. Good for you. It's not about me, me, me. You know, there's a saying about I and team. But if you write team out in bubble letters, there is an I in team, and it's in the middle of the a-hole. Get your stuff and go play the game. Gilbert!
Now, that's one I hadn't heard yet.
Now, look,
Michael.
I am not becoming the guy that, like, oh, stop having fun, Joel. I am not becoming that guy. Do I not like him saying I, me all the time when talking about right. the team? Yes, that goes up my back a little bit. Back.
Yes.
But I am not coming. I'm not going to become the guy like, don't have fun. Don't you have fun. Go play basketball. That's fine. If that's what is fun with Joel Embiid, I'm all for it. And I do. I enjoy him immensely. And when I was around him, I enjoyed him immensely when I was covering the team. But yeah, my overriding thing is, great, have your fun. Go play basketball. Like, shut up and play at some point. But I'm not saying that now.
But
not yet.
Okay. Because they haven't even played yet? Is that why?
Yeah, I know. It sounds crazy. Well, I want him to have fun.
No, it doesn't sound crazy. It just makes no sense.
It sounds very 2020 is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
No, but in all honesty, like, are we saying this about Ben Simmons? No. Why? Because it's never been anything attached to Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons is that, like, snake in the grass that's all just, like ready to, like, bite you.
I have an important update.
Yes?
He won his Call of Duty game last night in the bubble.
Look at that. Already undefeated.
So he's got his comfort place.
Already undefeated. Already undefeated.
Good. He's 1-0.
But we
it's
are
not easy to win Battle Royale, Bob.
But we are talking about this with Joel Embiid. Because Joel Embiid has shown that when he's having fun, when he's smiling, when he's egging on a crowd, when he's having fun off the court, that he's his best version of his basketball self on the floor. Like, when he can be, and I hate to say this because we're such an intense city, you got to admit it, he's the guy that thrives on being lighthearted. He's a guy that thrives on having fun. That leads into his competitive edge.
Yeah.
Like, it's not always the most fun thing as a fan to watch that and be like, is this guy taking it serious? But when he's all tense, that's when he looks like he's tired. That's when he looks like he's lazy on the court. That's where he looks like he doesn't have that type of edge or that motor that you want a winning athlete to have. Like it or not, this is part of Joel Embiid's game. Even when he shushed the crowd, I wasn't somebody that was up in arms over that. I thought you were either in on the joke and you know Joel Embiid and you know that's what he needs to try to get that edge, or you're pissed off and you want him to be traded or something like that. This is the way he plays at his best when he can have fun. And it shouldn't be something that ever leans in or leads to the way he plays on the court. But when he's tense, he sucks. When he's like motivated this way, having fun, being lighthearted, that's when he can attack the game as best as we know he can.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm not being a curmudgeon, like, oh, stop at this and that and the other. Here's what gets me. Is like, have we ever talked about any other athlete in the history of Philadelphia about their having fun equated to their game and oh, he's playing this and he's doing that. Oh, good. Maybe that'll relate to this and maybe that'll relate to that on doing their profession. It like, I just want Joel Embiid. I just want us to always say, man, what a great basketball player he is. And then the side story to be, yeah. Plus he's a lot of fun. The main story is he's a lot of fun. And when he's having fun, he's a good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right. And not, like, I don't know. It's the immaturity. Look, I want every... you guys know me. I'm the least serious person in the world. The fun is the best thing to have. That's right. Been my motto. It's going to go on my grave. Like, everything. I'm serious. That is my motto in life. There's nothing good comes out of not just having fun and enjoying every day and every moment. I've never encountered an athlete in my life professionally that is so tied to whether he's having fun in life or not equates to how well he does on doing his profession.
Mm-hmm.
And it does drive me a little bit crazy.
Like when I think of other athletes that were motivated by fun and all, I know the guy's name hasn't been the greatest recently, but like Jeremy Roenick. Like, he was the type of guy that when he was playing hockey and he wasn't having fun, like, he didn't look that good, but he always had fun. Whether he's dancing on the ice later in his career with the Kings or, like, showing his abs on national TV like he would do, like, or pointing to a sign that said, hey, you know, we got 14 more games to go here before we can really start talking about a Stanley Cup championship that he did, like, years and years and years ago. But it's the same type of thing. He just likes to embrace the fun.
Yeah.
And that helps him motivate to his highest level of play. Joel Embiid has a lot of that same thing. So when I saw him yesterday get out of the car with that, I went, let the games begin.
Yeah, so here's what bothers me a little bit. What's the question that we have about Joel Embiid in this game? And you've brought it up numerous times, Mark, and it's his basketball IQ, right?
Sure, yeah.
Being funny and doing what you do takes thought. It takes being a smart person.
Uh-huh.
Who would have thought he would have got out of the car yesterday and had a 7-foot hazmat suit or whatever you want to call it and put that? That's hysterical. It's funny. It's well thought out. Put as much thought into your game as you do into your humor, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I think that he's born with that personality. He wasn't born with a high basketball IQ, and it didn't help that he didn't start playing until he was, what, like 16?
16, yeah.
Yeah. So... like, that's all things that he has to learn. And, man, he's been pretty good at it over the last 9 years of his life.
Yeah.
Now he's done all right. You know, two-time All-Star already.
Sure.
In the MVP conversation last year, towards the end of the season. That's something that definitely helps. Had gastroenteritis and still put up good numbers. But if you watch the series, it's been very inconsistent.
Yeah.
He's done well over the last 9 years here in trying to teach himself some basketball. I still would rather him not try to handle the basketball as much as he does and leads to those turnovers that we can't stand and leads to being lazy with the basketball at times. And that's obviously something we can't stand. But overall, I'm pretty damn pleased with his game. I mean, right?
Oh, yeah. Me too. Yeah. I want it to be. He's a great basketball player and he's really funny too. Instead of being, he's really funny. And when he is, he's a really good basketball player.
All right, so we'll continue that conversation. The other thing that we were getting into with Mike there a second ago was the idea of exchanging the jerseys. Like, I understand how weird that sounds in like to an NFL player, like who we referenced earlier in the show, Darius Slay, saying, wait, you want us to tackle each other for 60 minutes and then we can't stand next to each other for two to exchange a jersey? Like, I get that's weird, but if you don't have to have those 2 minutes, don't have those 2 minutes. Like, every ounce, and I call it trimming the fat. Like we talked about baseball, making baseball more efficient in general. Even before the pandemic, we've had this conversation. How do you trim the fat, right? How do you cut down the time? Well, there's things you could do, whether it's putting all bullpens right next to the first and third baseline so guys just run in and start pitching again. You don't have to take that TV timeout or anything like that.
Right.
Like, whatever it is, trim the fat. This is a way to do that, and they're going to try to trim as much time, whether that's baseball players also, by the way, only just showing up to the games a certain amount of time before the first pitch and showing up in uniform. Whatever it is to trim the fat of being around each other, you got to do it.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to have a season or not? Like, if I'm a football player, I'm like, I'm sorry, what gets me paid? Doing that? Okay. I got to cut down those 2 minutes and 2 minutes here and 2 minutes there and 5 minutes there and 8 minutes here. Okay, I'll do it if it means I get to be on the football field and play in the safest way possible. And if it also, by the way, could lead to a team like the Ravens saying we want to have like 14,000 people in the stadium,
right.
Fine. Whatever cuts down on the time, you got to do it so that you're getting the essence, the meat and potatoes. All right, you don't need the appetizer. You don't even need the dessert here. All we want is the main course, and that's the football game.
I do have to say, though, and look, I'm a guy that wears a mask everywhere, that abides by the rules. You know, I want to protect my family and my kids, especially all that stuff. No question in my mind. So yesterday, the union plays, right, at 9 o'clock. I go home. We leave here because we have to leave here ASAP because that's the rules that we're abiding by now. And I go home and I watch the end of the game. Game gets done. Great win. Alejandro Bedoya scores the goal. They win 1-0. Great, you know, game. And they go to the sideline, and he immediately grabs his mask to go shake hands with the other team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not shake hands. It's just walk past each other and say good game.
Right.
I have to say, I was like, really? I mean, you guys were just like all over each other for over 90 minutes. And you're putting on, like, and some guys were huddling afterwards and saying prayers and wearing their Black Lives Matter jersey. The union, God, I love them to death. They're number one on my list today with the Black Lives Matter and wearing the names of people that, you know, have suffered. But I kind of took a seat back, like, really? Like, you just were all over each other, and the first thing you thought of was to throw on a mask to go say good game?
I
agree with it. I just found it odd.
No, it is odd.
I know, it's crazy.
But what the hell's normal?
Like, no, you're absolutely correct, Mark. But I understand what Slay was saying. Like, seriously, I'm going to be battling a guy all day long, and then you're going to tell me to stay away from him?
Like, and my answer to
that's a buzzkill.
My answer to that is yes, absolutely. That's my answer to it. 64,000 new cases in the United States.
They can have a guy in a hazmat suit be the median transfer guy of the jerseys.
There you go.
You know, you can pick him up with claws from one player, bring him over to the other player. They can find ways around this.
34. We talked about 34 hospitals at capacity for the ICU in Florida. That was on Monday, I think it was. Now we're at 56, I believe. Yeah, 56 hospitals in Florida now at capacity of the ICU with coronavirus. Cool. Let's.
It's only because we're testing more.
Let's. Oh, drat! You mean that thing we should be doing? Damn it! Like, to me, I'm just all about whatever we got to do to be safe and get back to whatever sense of normalcy. Watching football will make you feel normal, won't it? Won't it give you a sense of normalcy? Well, what if
college football ain't happening?
What if there is no football season? Like, but here's the thing: like conference play, I think that's it's a good first step. I think by the Big Ten, we're gonna take a shot here. We're gonna at least say this is trim the fat. This is the new goal here.
That season should be starting in like a month and a half. Ain't happening.
Could the NFL rewrite everything and redo the schedule to do what the Major League Baseball's doing?
Well, they did leave those
first six, right?
Yeah.
If they wanted to push back the season,
there's some flexibility there. Yeah.
Right. I don't have a lot of confidence in that, but. What wouldn't surprise me is if the NFL went back to the drawing board and said, maybe we got to do what Major League Baseball did. If it comes down to it, and they say, maybe we got to do what Major League Baseball did. Like, for instance, it's always been weird, right, that the Cowboys have been in the NFC East. Not that I would want to lose them for all eternity.
No, but you're right, yes.
But, like, would it make more sense where, like, it's the Patriots, the Giants, the Jets, the Eagles, the Ravens, and maybe even the Washington football team, any one of those teams?
Yeah.
Like, would it make more sense to have them play where they're all in, like, a bus drive with one another? You would think. But, look, I don't think that's happening. But if you're going into desperation mode, if you need to go into desperation mode, I think it's a possibility, especially when one sport's already done it, like baseball has. Not that I'm so happy about playing the Yankees as many times as the Phillies have to play the Yankees. But nonetheless, if you're going to have a football season, that might be the way to do it. And I wouldn't be surprised. Like yesterday, for instance, right? We get a package delivered to the house. I answer the door. Mailman says to me, and it was the mailman, legit mailman. It wasn't the Amazon guy. And he looks at me and he goes, I don't know if there's going to be a football season. And I went, man, I hope there is, you know, obviously, and what Big Ten's doing, and maybe at least shows that football will at least be willing to shift in any direction just to make sure they do have a season. I hope so. But, like, that's the feeling amongst people now, that there might not be a football season. And it's more so than ever right now because of the new spike that's happening throughout the country. I think football's happening. I think it is. I think they're going to take a shot. And that doesn't mean that they're going to finish, just like we've been talking about basketball, just like we've been talking about hockey and baseball and all that. But I do think they're going to give it their best effort. And if their best effort includes cutting 2 minutes, which might not seem like a lot, but it might be the part, you know, a small part of something bigger, because you can't exchange a jersey, I'm just going to say, if I'm a football player, okay.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, if you're going to die on that hill, you need to go elsewhere.
Like,
with
really?
Everything that's going on, okay, you can hold off on that for a little bit, or at least just do it in the comforts of your own locker room.
There's this thing called FedEx. You can send it to one another.
No, but we like the picture on the field. You know, and I did notice this. And Brandon Graham. I mean, has there been anybody putting in more work than Brandon Graham on, like,
thank you, 97.5.
No, Brandon, thank you. And I almost slid in his DMs, because remember, he slid in mine. I was going to slide in his DMs and just ask if he used any of the ass spray amongst the people he was working out with. And in the workout room, he's got jerseys, like, lining the room.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, that is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
But, like, if I tell you 2 minutes.
So you can figure out a way to do it without doing it on the field.
Right, exactly. I like the idea of having a guy in a hazmat suit. Like,
that'd be great. In the bowels of the stadium, he walks from one end to the other, like Homer when he's handling the
the uranium?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is. Yeah, the nuclear plant?
Yeah,
exactly. No, that's exactly what he should be doing. Hey, what do? I exchange the jersey. Is that why you're like, wrapped up in, like, duct tape and all that? Yep. I wouldn't mind that even a little bit. But if it helps the season start on time, hey, man.
See ya.
I don't know why that's something they would dig their heels in over.
Because it's a break from their norm.
Like, the idea. Wow.
Welcome to the real world.
Exactly. There is no normal anymore. Like, this is our new normal for the time being.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think
it's a weird hill to not die on. I don't think anybody's going to die on it, but just to even lay down on. It's like,
you want
to
play, right?
Yeah, you want those paychecks, right?
Those are fun paychecks to get every once in a while. I think I'm going to be okay with not getting a jersey. I understand how weird it sounds to say, hey, do this for 60 minutes, as Darius Slay said, but only do that. You can't do this for two. Yeah, that sounds dumb. But, like, drastic times call for drastic measures. Desperate times call for desperate measures. This is a little bit of a desperate measure that you got to take.
Yeah.
Now, coming up, we're going to get into what might be the oddest story. And I realize that just out of the gate sounds like a hot take. The oddest story already of 2020. And I can't believe this is the way it's playing out. Also, we're going to get the total number of
movies.
That's
saying something. The oddest story of 2020?
It really is.
And what 2020 has been so far?
I mean, really, if I told you this, you wouldn't believe me.
And I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm sure, like, I don't know what story specifically you're talking about.
Right.
But to label something as one of the oddest stories of 2020,
it might be the
being
oddest.
What 2020 has been so far, this is good.
It literally might be the oddest story of the year. Not depressing, not sad, but if I told you this on New Year's Day, this is what's going to happen. Of all the things, this would probably be the most unbelievable. I'll tell you that in a second. Let's get to Jeff in West Hampton. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, everything you're talking about, like, if I wasn't hearing you talking about the game itself, it would sound to me like you would be in favor of them not playing because being around each other is a bad idea.
I think sports starting right now and everything that's going on is crazy. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to watch. I mean, I got to be honest. I want the athletes to get back to work. I want them to be as safe as possible. But if you look at the numbers, and you think of the world we're in and how we're not controlling this like other countries are controlling it, and the fact that we're talking about sports and athletes are talking about why are we doing this, but they're doing it because they got to get paid. Like, it doesn't seem weird to you?
Oh, no, it's weird. I'm surprised they're even considering it. I figured it just shut it down. I mean, I can see NASCAR. They're in their car. You know, car racing is, you know, sports where you're away from each other. But football, that's why nobody's going to die on the hill, as you say. But it is. It's absurd. It's just absurd, mm-hmm. like what they're talking about, you know, that they can't exchange a jersey. It's silly that's a reality.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a player, are you going to take issue with that, or are you going to say, "Well, we got to cut down as much stuff as possible"?
I'm going to do what they're doing. I would tweet out, "This is silly," and then move on. You know, I would still verbalize it.
Oh, you would? Okay.
I don't think that, because I mean, when I'm at work and somebody, you know, there's some policy that's dumb, I say that's dumb, but then I move on and I've got to do with it because it's. You know, that's
the policy.
Well,
yeah.
Put it this way, Jeff, and all. Thanks for the call. Here's where I'm at. Like before, we came back and we were home for a while doing shows, like a couple of months.
Right.
When they told us that we were coming back, they're like, "But you got to just come in, do the show, and leave."
Yeah, and come in right before the show, yeah, and then leave right after.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I was like, cool.
My first thought, was, well, wait a minute, is it safe to be in there? Or is it not safe to be in there?
Well, I was I was your test dummy.
Yeah,
I was in here. Yeah. I was safe, so that had to give you some comfort.
Yeah, that's a good label for you, dummy. Yeah,
test dummy.
You don't say that.
Jeez, Bob.
I said test. My mic went off. I said that's a good label, test dummy, because Jamie was in here a couple weeks before us.
Mic was off. And I thought, well, that's dumb. Is it safe to be in there, or is it not safe to be in there? But then I thought about it. I was like, no, you got to trim the fat.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not tackling each other in here.
No,
we're yelling at times. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah,
but we're not tackling.
But we all have our own mic screens. We wear masks. We socially distance.
Yeah, thanks for my mic screen, by the way, Jamie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're a good man. 610-632-0975. When we get it, this has got to be the oddest story of 2020. If I told you this little nugget before the story or before the year, you wouldn't believe me. This would be of all the things, the thing you wouldn't believe. Time of the Fanatic 652.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.